are. Here we are on this Shabbat. Seems so busy for us. So many people were so busy. We're 3 days into Hanukkah. Tonight we light the fourth candle. We're also 3 days past Messiahmas, what the world calls Christmas, which for some of us, we still have family members who celebrated. So we, you know, who are we to put a wet blanket on them? We join in. We celebrate because, yes, the celebration is that if, you know, I try to put it, even those families who don't know, we try to share with them that Messiah this Christmas is celebrating the birth of Messiah and should not be a celebration of a jolly fat man. So we're just a couple of days out of that. And we're only 3 days from the secular New Year, January 1st. It's such a busy time. For some of us, we're just back from the convention. Others, for some of us, we're still going to have another one ahead of us. Boy, we can find ourselves so busy at this time. But at the same time, we also traditionally stop to look where we are. And of course, I'm speaking about not physically, but spiritually. Where are we? You know, this New Year's Day, the secular New Year's Day especially, is a day that the world is making plans to change themselves by making resolutions to either leave something behind or take on something new, some new habits to improve themselves. And maybe you're at a crossroads where you need to make a decision, or you're at a part of your life on the road that's stretching out before you, and you're questioning, are you on the right road even, but you don't see any place to turn off. We can be in these places. It's a strange time where we want to stop, yet we keep going ever faster, even faster, even faster, because there's so much to do, so much to get done. We may want to forget some things, but we may want to remember others that we had forgotten. There's so many things that are swirling around in our minds that it can be confusing. Adonai has a word for you at this time, though. Something to remember and to keep in your heart all year round. And it comes from 1 Peter. So we're going to take a look at 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." In these two fairly short sentences, there are five ideas that Adonai wants you to keep in mind. And perhaps lean on them a little bit more during the year, or improve upon them in order to walk closer with him. And that should be our goal for every believer, right? All throughout the year, that we're always walking just that little bit closer, a little bit closer, more like him, more like him. We want to do this. We want to improve all the time, right until our start of eternity with him. So I'm going to go through five ideas. Ideas that Peter writes for us. Each one is simple on its own. But perhaps you're good at one, but you're a little bit weak in another one. And that's okay. Now's the time to step up and take hold of at least one of these to start improving on in your life, which Adonai wants to happen in your life. The first one is to humble yourself, right? First Peter said, humble yourselves. The first two words, humble yourself. There are whole daily devotionals out there that just stress that one concept of being humble. It's just that important. I think for most of us, we can understand the importance of being humble towards Adonai. After all, he's so very God, and we so very much are not. But what about being humble towards each other as well? We're called not just to be humble to Adonai, but to everyone. So let's look at the call from the scriptures to be humble towards Adonai first. Although there are many, today we're going to look at a verse from Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3:34. Though he scoffs at the scoffers, he gives grace to the humble. This is quoted directly by James in James 4:6. And it seems so easy to see why James would quote it to us. The truth behind it is so powerful that he wants you to understand that in order to gain the grace of Adonai, which is salvation, then you must be humble towards him. The person who scoffs at Adonai will be scoffed at by him. Doesn't this remind you of the verse in Matthew 10 that says that if you acknowledge him before men, he'll acknowledge you before the Father in heaven. But if you don't, then he won't. I believe what I think to be a truth, that the way you treat him is the way he's going to treat you. Now, that you know, there's a big difference, though, the way you treat him and the way he treats you, or at least what you can do for him and what he can do for you. You can bless him with your words and your actions. You can bless him here on earth by your spirit. But he can bless you in all things. And when he blesses, it never fails. Now, I'm not saying that your blessings towards him amount to nothing. They become a part of the love that you show him. And you go to him in this world. His blessings are the love that he shows you, which show themselves in our physical as well as our spiritual world. They're just that step above what we could ever do to him or him. The Lord also emphasizes that being humble does not mean that it's only towards him, but also towards all of his creation, meaning other people as well. The humbleness that you show to others will also reap rewards to you, as we're told in Ephesians 4. The beginning of Ephesians 4 says this: "Therefore I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you were called, with complete humility and gentleness, with patience, putting up with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Ruach in the body of Shalom," in that body of peace. Humility is not a standalone action, but actually a part of something much bigger. It's a part of being gentle and patient and loving and acting indifference towards the other person. In other words, putting them first and being unified. I don't think that you can be humble without showing these other characteristics. We can say, "Oh, look how humble they look." But it also implies that they're also showing these other traits. You can't be humble without acting in unity and patience. You cannot really be humble without being loving. The concept of humility is really a few characteristics that are all rolled into one big idea found in a small role, in a small word, humbleness. As small as the word humble is, it's a great big concept that Adonai loves. It was not meant to be confined to just being aimed at him alone, but to be aimed at everyone that you come in contact with. And that includes Adonai. Just the act of wanting to have you with him shows the humility of Adonai. He knows who you are and what you've done, but he'll still stoop down to be with you personally. Now, the second thing that comes up is just that idea that he will stoop down to be with you and then lift you up. He does not want to see any of those who know him, any of those he created, stuck in low places. He does not want you to be in a pit in this life. How do we know this is true about you personally? I mean, it's easy to say, well, of course them, but what about, me? I'm just little old me. Because his word says it's true. Look at what we're told about what Adonai thinks of you, found in a couple of the Psalms. First is Psalm 121. A song of ascents. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where does my help come from? My help comes from Adonai, maker of heaven and earth. He will lift up your eyes, which does two things for you. The first is it takes your eyes off of your troubles and off of the situations that you're in, off of the tribulations that are alongside of you. Remember, they are not a part of you, even if they're right next to you. These troubles and tribulations are not a part of you. They do not belong to you, and you don't make them part of you. He will lift your eyes so that you are no longer looking at and expecting them to become a part of you. Then he also lifts our eyes so that you're looking to where your help is coming from. When we look up, you will not see your enemy or even yourself, but you will see Adonai. The same one that created the heaven and earth is the one who will reach down to give you strength and to help you. He is the one that you can depend upon. We again are told in so many places about his goodness and dependability, his helping us, his helping his creation. So let's look at another from the Psalms, this time Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verses 2 and 3. I waited patiently for Adonai. He bent down to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. Then he set my feet on a rock. He made my steps firm. David wrote this and says that he waited patiently for Adonai. But the truth is, it was Adonai who waited patiently. He waited patiently for David. He waits patiently for us to turn to him as well. But when we do, he never fails to hear our cry or to help us out of that slimy pit, that mud and that muck and that mire that we can be in. He sets us upon a rock where our steps are firm. But then how do we know it's meant for us, each one personally? Because his word says so. Psalm 67, for example, it says this. Psalm 67, 2 and 3 in the Hebrew scriptures, 1 and 2 in your English versions. May God be gracious to us and bless us. May he cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, but that your way may be known on earth and your salvation among the nations. Now, I hope you know, there are only two kinds of people, two that he created. In the eyes of Adonai, there are only two, and neither is above or below the other. They're Jews and Gentiles, Gentiles and Jews. Neither is above the other. So when we read from Psalm 67, which is who's being addressed, we have to ask here. And it's both. David writes that Adonai's face will shine upon us. Well, us, for that, for David, was the Jewish people. But he doesn't stop there. He continues to say that Adonai's salvation is for all the nations. Who would be excluded from this statement? No one. No one who turns from him, turns towards him, regardless of where they are or who they are, turn to Adonai and he will help you. This is the character of Adonai, to be inclusive and wanting to save all. The us is everyone. And the from what is the stuff and the junk and that the enemy will throw to us, try to stick to us. He is a great and mighty God who can and will lift everyone to save them. And when will this happen? Well, it occurs in his time. And his time only, never our own time, it seems. We want things to happen. And when do we want it to happen? Yesterday. We don't want to wait for it. We want it yesterday. We want it now. We as a society want things to be completed right away. We don't want to wait for anything, including Adonai himself. But he is in control of all things. And that includes the timing of everything. And this is good for us because he knows the perfect timing for each and everything. Lamentations 3:24, starting there, says, Adonai is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Adonai is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of Adonai. It is good for a man to bear the yoke of his youth. Let him sit alone and be silent, since he has laid it upon him. It is good to wait, because he's a good God, and because fighting him, even if it's about the timing of something, just does not put us into that winning situation. Even the yoke of our youth, which includes the smallness that you can feel at times when you're young, or that awkwardness that you feel when you're young, or the anxiousness that you feel. You know, all that is part of being a youth, or as they say up north, a ute. It is good for us to rest and wait for him to remove it. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't prepare for better things by preparing ourselves, but it does mean that we don't rush the things. Even as adults, we have the same lessons to learn that sometimes we have to learn them over and over again, though. Allow Adonai to orchestrate the things in our lives in his good timing. It is not good to either try to speed up or slow down the things of Adonai in your life. They will not just happen when they happen, but they will happen when it's the best to happen, according to Adonai. Now, I'm going to show you two verses that show the perfect timing of Adonai, one from the Tanakh and one from the Brit Hadashah. And the first is from the Tanakh, Isaiah 49. One verse, verse 8. Thus says Adonai, in a time of favor, I will answer you. In a day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, to restore the land, to make them possess its desolate inheritances. Adonai makes a promise to the world that at the right time, he will show favor to and of Messiah. He's going to show favor to Messiah, is showing favor to Messiah is going to be showing favor to us. And that's by bringing salvation to the world through Messiah. And then we read 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2 is part of the Brit Hadashah. Since you are co-laboring, we also urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, at a favorable time, I listened to you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. In Isaiah, the word is, I will listen, I will help. And in 2 Corinthians, it says that I listened and I helped. In Isaiah, it says that there would be a perfect time for Messiah to come. And in 2 Corinthians, he says, the perfect time Messiah came for your salvation. Same words, because it's the same God. It's the promise made and the promise kept. Why didn't the Messiah come earlier to save his people? Because it wouldn't have been the right time. Why didn't he come later? Because that wasn't the right time either. Adonai knew the perfect time to answer the prayers and requests of his people. And I have to say that there are some things that may seem out of his concern. When should I leave for work? When should dinner be made? What should I have to eat tonight? But there are other times that he will make his will known, even about the small things. He'll make his voice very clear if we open ourselves up to him. And if it'll make a difference, when should I go to work? It doesn't matter. But that one time, he'll say to you, you know, you should leave early today and you'll avoid an accident because you did, or something along those lines. Most of the times, you get to choose, but there are times he'll do it for you. He'll make that choice if you listen up. Now, the fourth thing out of 1 Peter was the next thing. The next thing is from 1 Peter shows us that we are to allow him to carry the weight of our worry. It says to cast your anxiety upon him. Notice it doesn't say to share it with him. It doesn't say, you know, hold it up and let him look at it. Cast your anxiety about onto him. Don't try to hold any of it back for yourself. I know it feels like it's yours and yours alone, but he wants to take it from you, but you have to give it to him. He won't just take. Look what it says in Psalm 55, 23 in the Hebrew, 22 in the English. Cast your burden on Adonai, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. There are going to be troubles and burdens in life. Most of us are old enough to know that. And frankly, they have to go somewhere. But that doesn't mean that they have to go on your shoulders. His word says to put them on his shoulders, which are strong and wide enough to carry the weight of the world and the worries of the world. In Matthew, Yeshua tells us to find rest in him and not to carry our own burdens. So read Matthew 11, starting in 27. All things have been handed over to me by the Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yeshua says that when you're tired and you have a lot on your shoulders, that you should come to him and he will give you rest. It's not just by adding on, though. He doesn't say, just take my yoke and put it on top of all the other garbage that you're carrying around. But it's an exchange. It's an exchange, your yoke of the world that you're carrying, for his yoke that's light and easy. You don't show him your burdens, then try to take that another burden that he wants his yoke to be on top of that. Too many people want to show him the troubles they have and then try to balance his yoke on top of them all and walk away saying, "Now I'm now yoked with him. Look, I'm carrying his yoke too." The problem is it's not supposed to be the two. That doesn't work. It's as if his yoke will not fit if you're carrying another yoke already. You can't wrap his yoke over the one of the world's. But you must allow him to remove the world's yoke in order to fit onto you. If someone tries to give me a great pair of running shoes, and hey, I don't run. If someone tries to give me a great pair of running shoes and guarantees I'll run faster, I can't just try to put that shoe over what I'm already wearing on my feet. I have to take that shoe off and put on this wonderful shoe. The yoke is the same way. It'll be lighter. It'll be easier, but you have to take off what the world puts onto you before you can take on the yoke of Adonai. And it's going to be easier because it's made especially for you. Each of us has a different yoke from Adonai. And it's made especially for you. It's not the same as another person. So you can't look over there and say, "Oh, look what they're doing. I'm going to do that." That's not going to work. That's their yoke. That doesn't mean it's your yoke. You need to do what Adonai wants from you. That will be the light and easy yoke. And the fifth thing from 1 Peter is probably the most important. Know that Adonai loves you personally. Yes, you as a people that you're part of, but even more so, the you that's individual. Yeshua's words in John sound very personal because they are very personal to you. John 14, starting in verse 1. "Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going." This final point starts off with words that are right from the previous point: don't worry. But it leads directly to the point of his love. Do not let your heart be troubled sounds like a command that's easier said than done. But then he tells you that there is a way to do this. The words of Yeshua are a commandment to hear and have faith that the plan that he created, the salvation plan that comes through Messiah Yeshua, will create a place for you. It's created there because he loves you. Look how many times the words of Yeshua uses the words "you" and "yours." In these four verses, "you" and "yours" are used 7 times. That sounds very personal to me. Each time you see the word "you," you should know that it was written for you here and now. His word did not expire and it will not come too soon. The timing of your reading it is perfect. And the love of your God that gives you these words is perfect. He wants you with him because he loves you. Let's look at the words of the prophet Zephaniah in chapter 3. Adonai, your God, is in your midst, a mighty Savior. He will delight over you. He will quiet you with his love. He will dance for joy over you with singing. Here's the thing you got to keep in mind each and every day. Adonai, your God, is with you each and every day. He is a mighty God who is also our Savior, Yeshua. He rejoices that you come to him, and he will help to quiet you by his love if you allow him to. And you may not see him dancing and rejoicing now, but I believe that someday you will actually see Adonai dance among us. Dance and sing among us. So why do I think this? Because it says so. If I can't see him doing it now with physical eyes, then I have to believe that it's for the world to come, because his word is always true. We don't see him physically dancing now. We will see him dance in the time to come. He will be joyous in the time to come because we're with him. It is a great reason not to give up the race that we run in our lives. Not the rat race of the world, but our race of salvation. The new year is almost here, and the word of the Lord is new to us each and every day. But the things that we get out of it are even newer, if that's possible, or if that's the right way of saying it. Perhaps you didn't realize the love that he has for you. Maybe you never looked at 1 Peter 6, 7, and 8 as instructions for you to grab onto at the start of the year. But I believe that he is loving and wants you to, he wants to help you in all that we do. And each time that we look up, he is there to do in different and greater ways than we could ever ask or imagine. Take note of these five ideas that you should want to improve upon. Don't think that it's an overnight thing, though. But let it be a work for this year. Humble yourself. Let Adonai lift you up. Know it's going to occur in his time. Don't worry and let him carry the weights of the world and the worries. And know that he loves you. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. And we just want to be able to humble ourselves before you. To strip off the things of the world so that we can bow before you and be humble. So that you can lift us up even in our worst of times, when we're muddy and slimy from being in the pit, when we look up to you and profess your name and you as Savior, that you will lift us up regardless of where we are. And we know that when we pray to you, all things will occur in your perfect timing. We thank you that we don't have to worry about the timing. We only have to worry about our relationship with you, the timing you'll take care of. So we will not worry and carry that weight of the world. Instead, we will give it to you, and we will take on your yoke, that light and easy yoke. And most of all, we acknowledge your love. We acknowledge that you love us, and we acknowledge and desire to love you. We acknowledge that you desire to lift us up. We acknowledge your desire to counsel us on how to be humble. And we acknowledge it's all in your time. We just thank you for your love and mercies, your grace in all things, and your provisions in the physical and spiritual. And everyone said, amen and amen.